Good morning. I don't know whether to look at you or not look at you this morning. Just want to thank you for your worship this morning. Did that just unplug? Thank you. Try again. Everything is right with the world. Technology has been tricky. Okay. Really, really loved worshiping with you guys this morning. The first time I stepped through these doors was Christmas program 2005, when Vladka invited me to church. And it took another 6 months probably to come back. And I officially joined this church family through baptism on the 23rd of June 2007. Feels like such a long time ago. I officially started in this role as the assistant pastor on the 1st of July 2015, and that was just meant to be a 12-month maternity contract, but somehow it just got extended and extended. A lot of things have happened since I started attending this church, but the very first time I actually got up and preached a sermon was on the 15th of October 2011. And I love that technology allows us to store information, because I found the sermon and the PowerPoint that I did in 2011. I feel like I've progressed a little bit, maybe. But on the 15th of October, I wanted to preach on my very favourite verse, which is found in 2 Corinthians. And I will read that to you in a moment. But I had, as Carolee mentioned, in 2011, I attended a lay pastoral workers training intensive at in Jambana. It was for 3 weeks. It was residential. Like, you had to stay there, and it was a significant thing, because I had been working a different job, and I had asked for time off, you know, to go and do this training, which probably didn't make sense to anyone else. But I did go, and I was really, really fired up having been there. And I just kind of knew that God wanted more, was leading me somewhere else. And I came back, and Pastor Dave Erickson was here, and I said to him, "I'm ready to preach my first sermon. Here I go." And it sounded good in theory, of course. But when the date actually came around, I remember sitting approximately where I was today. I haven't moved much in those 13 years. And as the prayer was being said, and I thought, oh, I'm next, I actually stood up, and I was so nauseous, I thought I was going to be sick. And I thought, what have I done? Why on earth did I tell him that I would get up and preach? That was a long time ago. Mind you, I still feel nauseous when I get up to preach. That doesn't change. But today I want to preach again on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9, one of my favorite passages in scripture. And I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed." Today my sermon is actually called "Treasure in Jars of Clay, Lessons Learned." And I want to share nine short lessons. There's only 13 slides, which in context you're thinking, what, 13? But normally I have about 40 slides. So there's just 13 slides today, and I want to share with you my 9 lessons learned here at One Turner Church from the first time I preached on this passage to today, the last time I will preach on this passage here. So here we go. Well, let's just start with let there be light. Let there be light. And I just want to kind of point you for a moment to the very beginning of Scripture where God says, in the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. I just want to start there, because how is this term often used? When someone says, let there be light, what do they mean? It's not just I flick the switch and I am no longer standing in a light room, but often it's like there's a illumination that happens. Maybe we're unsure about something, or there's some confusion, or we come across this knowledge. It's like, light, let there be light. There is just this clarity that comes. I think of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I think we use this word fear, but really it's like this kind of awesome reverence of God. For me, let there be light is just an awareness of God, of His presence, of His working. When I came to this church, I didn't know God. I may have known, God. Something, somewhere, someone. Not me, not related, not close, not personal. Nothing to do with me. But the first lesson I learned as I attended this church was let there be light. I got to know who God was. I had a revelation of who He was. And I guess in many ways I had a bit of a revelation on who I was, because the Bible also says that we have been formed from dust and breath of God. And although that may feel, is that actually encouraging? I find it incredibly encouraging to know that I've been formed by God and life has been breathed into me by God. But ultimately, let there be light allows me to acknowledge that I am actually created by God, and that it's His light, because He's the creator of light, that He puts in me and in you. We're not the light. So when I say let there be light, I'm not the light, you're not the light. The Bible goes to a lot of trouble in John chapter 1 to tell us that John the Baptist is not the light. He was a witness to the light. But the light is Jesus. And when I read that passage in 2 Corinthians, we get to carry that light. It says in jars of clay, earthen vessels, you know, earth, what we were formed from. And that actually encourages me, because it reminds me I'm just a human body. And I'm not perfect. And I'm not smooth. Not anymore. But I get to carry this light that God puts in me. And so I just want to share a little passage that I just stumbled across this week. It says, God has been pleased to communicate His truth to the world by human agencies, and He Himself, by His Holy Spirit, qualified men and enabled them to do this work. He guided the mind in the selection of what to speak and what to write. This treasure was entrusted to earthen vessels, yet it is nonetheless from heaven. The testimony is conveyed through the imperfect expression of human language, yet it is the testimony of God, and the obedient, believing child of God beholds in it the glory of a divine power full of grace and truth. We are these clay vessels, these earthen jars, that get to carry this amazing treasure, which is the glory, the divine power of our God. And so the first lesson learnt is acknowledge who God is, the light, acknowledge who we are, earthen vessels, and just celebrate the opportunity to carry the light that He wants to put in you. My second lesson is step out of your comfort zone and do this regularly. Because when you do, number one, you discover that the Holy Spirit is already there. But number two, you will do things you never thought you could do. The first time I was asked to actually do something at church, I can't remember who asked me, but they asked me to do the prayer. And again, if you thought I felt nervous about doing that first sermon in 2011, just go back a couple of years. I'd never really done public speaking. And not only that, you're asking me to do the prayer in the whole of church where all these other people know God so much better than I do. Are you crazy? And I wanted to say no, but I didn't. I said, all right, I'll do the prayer. And I don't know about you, how often someone has asked you to do something in church and you do say yes, but then on Friday night you kind of go, oh, no, can't do it. And you ring the coordinator, actually you text him because it's safer. And go, oh, I'm really sorry, I've got a cold, I've lost my voice, or, you know, something. No one's ever done that before? Yes, maybe honesty will be on this list later. But step out of your comfort zone. If someone asks you to do something, even if it's terrifying, just do it, because you don't actually know what that will lead to. You don't know how God is going to use that to grow you, to encourage someone else. You just don't know. Your comfort zone is small. It's a tiny, tiny little box. And actually, you think it's a comfort zone, but actually it's really uncomfortable in there. And you only discover that when you step out of it and you realize that the world is huge and there is so much opportunity and so much learning. And before you kind of go into that, oh yeah, but I can't do that. I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at technology, or maybe I cry too much. Not looking at you, Yoshi. Whatever it is, the Bible talks about that too. It says, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the, do you know what he chose? Do you know what word comes next? God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I don't care that I'm not perfect. I did, and this is a lesson I've had to learn, that I just have to step out of my comfort zone. I don't know where the next step is going to lead, but never in a million years did I think I would be standing here doing this. And God knows those that he wants to do that through, but he needs you to actually take that step with him. So if you're asked to do something, even if it feels like I could never do that, I want to encourage you to go, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a try. My third lesson is be real. And I really hope this picture is clear. I don't know what I want to tell you on this, but where I want to start. Maybe I'll start in 2015. Because a few people said to me, wow, you've got really big shoes to fill with Lily. Really big shoes to fill. And I remember thinking, what am I doing? I can't do this. I should never have said yes. I'm crazy. You know, I can't do what she does. I can't. It was terrifying. Don't say that to people. And don't say that to Dan when he comes next year. I'm taking my shoes with me. Let him bring his own shoes. Church, this lesson is for both of us. I know that for many, those words feel like it's an encouragement to the other person, and you're telling them that, you know, they're going to maybe do great things and whatever, but actually it's incredibly discouraging and terrifying. I mean, how do you feel if I come up to you and go, Yoshi, you've got really big shoes to fill because the person who was here before you, you're never going to meet that standard. How does that empower you to? No, it's not empowering at all. You feel like you're being compared all the time. Don't compare. Don't compare me with the next person. Don't compare me with the previous person. Don't compare anyone with anyone, because comparison is a killer. God did not create us to be compared, to be the same. For those of you who have received Bibles through baptism in the last couple of years, you will have found that I have highlighted the same verse over and over. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know that full well. Every single one of us is made exactly the way that we're meant to be. And so just be real about who you are and stop worrying about being like someone else. So just be real. Be real. Be you. And be happy being you. And I'm excited for Dan to come and to be him. And knowing that he's coming to a church that's going to love him to pieces. Encourage him and tell him how amazing it is to have him here. But please don't ever say to him, "You've got big shoes to fill." Please. This is the hard one. When trials come, when we are hard pressed on every side, when we are perplexed, when we are persecuted, when we are struck down, I guarantee that every single one of us has faced trials. None of us are immune to trials. And the passage that I started with, you know, it tells us hard pressed, crushed, you know, not crushed, we're going to be persecuted, we're not going to be abandoned, but all these things are going to happen. We are going to face trials. And I could tell you many stories of trials that have happened even since 2011, since that first time I decided to pop my little head up here and preach a sermon. But I just want to tell you one very brief story, I suppose, and it's not a big story, but it started on the 1st of July 2015, that very first day that I said yes to being in ministry. And here I am, my first week of ministry. Do you know where I spent my first week of ministry? Does anyone know? In hospital. Not for myself, but one of my children was in hospital for the first whole week with an unknown illness. She had to have bone biopsies. She was under surgery. We had no idea what was going on. And it was scary. It was a real trial. Week one of ministry. First real trial hits. And there's been other trials before that. But it is a reminder to me that when we do actually acknowledge God, recognize ourselves, step out of our comfort zone, be real about who we are, the devil comes after us like you would not believe. Because the last thing he wants you to do is actually reflect the treasure. The last thing he wants you to do is shine the light of Jesus. And so trials will come. And I want you to hear this lesson, because I don't want you to kind of be fooled into thinking that, well, you know, I've made Jesus number one and everything's going to be perfect now. That's not the way it works. Because when we make Jesus number one, the devil comes against us. So what do we do? Well, I just want to share James 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. I have read this verse time upon time upon time. When I have felt like, what else? What else? What else are you going to throw at me? I just remember, just draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do not give in. Do not give up. When the trials come, do not let them shut you down. But just keep looking forward. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because that verse in 2 Corinthians says, although we are hard-pressed, we do not get crushed. And although we may be perplexed, it's not the complete despair. And although we may feel persecuted, we will not be abandoned, and ultimately we will not be destroyed. And so when trials come, just hold on. Hold on to God. Come near to him and he will come near to you. All right, there's a couple of quick ones, and these are very self-explanatory, I think. But the other lesson learned in the last 8 or so years, pray more. Now, you may be wondering, yes, that's, of course, makes sense. But I'm actually going to say pray more for others. That's what I've learned. I can pray for myself. I can get so caught up in myself. Oh, God, help me. This and me and me and oh me and me and my oh my oh me, me. But actually what I've learned is it's so much better when I pray for others. It puts so much perspective around life. There is absolute joy in actually praying for others and the way it allows peace to fill your life. And so I really want to encourage you that no matter what is going on for you, even if you think you are in the worst storm of your life, pray for someone else. Pray for others. You will feel good praying for others. And you will get to see God do amazing things through your prayers. The next lesson, also quite self-explanatory, is sleep more. There was a period of time where I was working and studying and mothering and wifing and friending and not really doing any of them very good at all, where it was up late, you know, sometimes up until midnight studying and then up again at 5 in the morning because you just want to get on top of things before they get away from you. That's not very sustainable. It didn't last very long and it didn't make me any happier. I feel much better when I sleep. And so will you. But beyond physical sleep, what I really mean is just take time out. Take time away. Be with your families. Spend time with friends. Put the phone away. I'm learning, and I'm not always good at this, but I'm learning to just not look at my phone if I'm watching a movie with family. I don't do it all the time, but I'm trying because I want to not be consumed by other things. But just take time out. And if that means sleeping more, having a little nap in the afternoon, sometimes we need the nap. It's okay. I've learned that sometimes I need a nap. No jokes about age. This is next lesson has probably been the hardest lesson for me to learn. Those who know me well. I love talking. And some of you, actually this was brought to my attention last week, thank you Jeanette, and I will share it. There was an event many years ago, a Mother's Day breakfast, and there was a kitchen argument that ensued between a Vladka Henley and a Sylvia Mendes about the correct way to crack eggs into a bowl. This escalated very quickly. I had no desire in hearing what she had to say or how it was done. She was taking too long and we were under the pump. There were scrambled eggs that needed to be served. I was known for probably being a little bit hot-headed and quick to speak, slow to listen, which would be the opposite of what the Bible says, which is probably to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Often we give a lot of well-meaning comments and try and, you know, like the big shoes to fill. Maybe just shut it. God created us with 2 ears and 1 mouth, which means we should listen twice as much as we speak, correct? I wanted to make some really funny Bilbo comment there to make it complex about listening and hearing, but my brain just couldn't cope. I'm sorry. But I've learned to talk less and listen more. And it's actually remarkable what you hear when you listen. When someone says to you, "Happy Sabbath, how are you today?" Yeah, I'm okay. Oh, great. See you later. Did you hear anything in that comment? What about, hey, what's going on? You don't seem your usual self today. What's happening? When we actually stop and listen, we go beyond the surface. We actually start to get to know people a bit better. We get to hear when things are not right, even when they don't speak, because we recognize that something's not right in them. And so the lesson learned is don't function on the surface. Don't just stay up here. Hi, happy Sabbath. My kids are perfect. Mine are not. Yours are not too. Sorry. Do not function up here. But actually come deeper and have conversations. Have real conversations with people about what's happening. Be prepared to share and be prepared to listen. This is a hard lesson for us. And for some of us, you know, we come together once a week, haven't seen you all week, and, oh, I bought this new dress. Where's Lily? I didn't. We keep it really superficial. We don't really invest in listening. But I want to encourage you today, listen more, talk less. You'll be amazed what happens. And that leads me into my next lesson, which is kind of connected, and it's that being present. When we actually stop and listen, we become present with the people that we're with. We get to actually know them and care about them, which then makes it easier to pray for them. It's funny how it's all connected. In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So be present with God means be still. Don't come to him with your big list every morning or every night or whenever with a big list of all these things that need to happen and then off you go. Okay, I'm in a rush, God, I've got to go to work. Actually, being still means the same. It's that kind of just listening and not talking. It's just pausing for a moment and going, okay, what does God want to actually say to me at this time? Maybe through his word, maybe through song, maybe through a thought that might flit into my mind, maybe as I'm journaling. But being present is being present with God. It's pausing and allowing time just with him, but it's being present in relationships and with people. Pausing again and taking time to get to know people and not be thinking, okay, how long do I have to spend with this person before I have to go? Or maybe already thinking, oh, I want to tell them this. I wish they'd hurry up and finish their sentence. You've never done that before? It happens. But be conscious of those thoughts. Stop talking, not just out loud, but in your head. Just quiet that voice and actually be present with the people that you're with and hear what they are saying. Because when we do this, it's amazing what happens to relationships. It's amazing what happens to our friendships. It's amazing what God can do when we are actually present with him and with others. Okay, last lesson. I could have done a whole sermon just on this one topic. And it's really cliche and I hate it. Let go and let God. That's not what I want to talk about. There's a lot of things I've had to let go since I started coming to church. There's a lot of things I've had to let go of as I've gotten to know Jesus. There are a lot of things that have had to go. Fear. That was a good one. It still comes back every now and then, but I have to just give it a boot out the door. Control. Comparisons, failures. Oh, failures. How many jobs did I think I was going to have? How many different careers? How many mistakes? I had to let them go. Friendships and hurts. There are so many things that each of us go through that we hold on to so tightly. But we must let go. I don't want to carry that hurt my whole life. I don't want to carry unforgiveness. I don't want to carry pain. I don't want to carry broken relationships. I don't want to carry words that were said 10 years ago. I just want to let them go. And so my last lesson is really for all of us, because we all have stuff that we're holding on to. We all do. And if you tell me that you don't, I'm going to just say liar, liar, pants on fire. Because we all do. And we must let go. Just like a parent has to release their child at some point, you know, I can't follow my kids around forever. Well, I could, but it would be awkward and stalkery and embarrassing. I have to let them go to be adults. Just like I have to let go of my preconceived ideas and expectations sometimes, as do you. I really thought God would have done this, but he did that. I would have thought they were going to do this, but they did that. I always thought they would say this, but they said that. We've got to let go of those preconceived ideas. And I have to let go of you. And this is the hardest lesson of all. Because you are a part of me and have been a part of my journey for many years. But I must let go. And you must let go. Ultimately, I am a lump of clay. And I came here. And I was shaped and molded. And there were many lessons to be learned. Many lessons to be learned. I had to be introduced to Jesus. And I was, through this church. I had to recognize who I was and the gifts that I had. And I did, through this church. And I had to be real about who I was and stop trying to pretend or try and live up to some expectation. And I did that in this church. And when the trials came, and a lot of them did, this church was the church that saw us through. I have prayed and I have had sleepless nights and I have learned to listen to each of you. I've learned to be present and to show up and to be as real as I can be, even if it means that I'm embarrassing. And I have learned to let go and to trust God, that I don't need to control it all as much as I think I'd like to. But now the hardest lesson is to let go of you guys. We are a family. And I guess if I could summarize my lessons today, it's to love God, choose him, respond to him, fix your eyes on Jesus, and love others. Be present, listen, and care. I didn't know that when I first stepped through those doors in 2006, I didn't know how important you would all become. I didn't know that this lump of clay would be shaped and molded into this completely different person. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving me and for shaping me and for pointing me to Jesus. And I want to thank you for letting me grow. And I want to thank you for letting me go.